KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, we bring to you Emmy Award winner, DraftKings Network NFL analyst. It is the great Trey Wingo. Good morning, sir.
Oh, good to be with you guys. Shout out to my people in the DFW area, Haji, Seshi, Joey, Bryce, and BBs. How are we?
I think they're doing well. I'm sure they are now that you're here. I have two non-Cowboys questions before we get started. First off, how is DraftKings treating you? And also, how much have you been enjoying all the Dwayne Wade statue memes that have come out?
First of all, the people at DraftKings are wonderful, and not because they're listening at the moment. They've been great. I've enjoyed every second of my time with them. And I think my favorite favorite Dwayne Wade meme is the one where he's the frozen Han Solo in The Empire Strikes.
Yes.
That was by far my favorite. But I do find it interesting that somehow we found a sculptor who could turn a really good-looking young African-American man into a 73-year-old white guy named Manny who plays shuffleboard in Miami.
Did you see the sculptor came out again yesterday and the day before? He's like, that's the best I could do. That's the best anybody could do at that.
Bro, that's like Anthony Richardson saying, I was tired and I need to come out. Sometimes lie. Don't say that's the best you can do. Because if that's the best you can do, you need to find another job.
Are you surprised at all that at least for the week, Richardson is getting benched? I know people have discussed like experience versus winning now.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not surprised at all. Listen, don't take my word for it. By the way, he's not benched this week. Shane Steichen said today it's going forward.
Oh, okay.
So there's a couple of things that people need to understand, because people are like, well, how are you ever going to develop him and all that kind of stuff? There are certain things you can do, and there's certain things you can't do if you're the quarterback. Okay, listen to all the former players. Don't take my word for it. Listen to all the pundits, whether it's on ESPN, Fox, The Athletic, all these people. The thing you can't say in the NFL, man, I was tired. Look,
yeah.
Look at the offensive line, who are out there banging against 300-pound defensive linemen, speed guys coming around the edge. They're trying to protect your ass the best they can, and you tap out because you're tired at 22? Now, this is the guy, remember, this was the quarterback that was supposed to be the strongest, most athletic, fastest, explosive quarterback we've ever seen. Well, maybe, but his conditioning is for bleep if he was tired. Like, you can't do that. Like, Chase Daniel said it best when – they played the clip on his podcast with Diana Rossini and Scoop City. He's like, I was tired. I'm not going to lie to you. And they cut to Chase and said, lie to the media. Don't ever say that again. You have lost the respect of every current and former football player that has ever played in the NFL. You just don't do it. You just don't say it. And what makes it worse, guys, is not that he said it. He didn't understand how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know what you don't know, that's the biggest issue. It's like the Cowboys running game, right? We all know it's bad. But an offense to function needs to be like two clavicles. A clavicle is not one bone. It is two bones. There's the clavicle for the passing game, the clavicle for the running game. You got to have those things in unison. And when Brock Purdy outrushes your entire team, you've got clavicle problems in Dallas.
We tried to ask about that, and we got yelled at. So you know how it goes.
Of course you did. You know how that goes, of course. They don't want to talk about that stuff.
Hey, Trey, in your history, have you – whenever teams, players, owners start lashing out at media, are they lashing out at the wrong people, and who should they be taking that out on?
Themselves?
Mm.
I mean, yes, they are lashing out the wrong people. Now, you know, you can question whether or not what's-his-face from WFNA should have engaged with Diggs after the game like that. But by the way, Diggs ain't the first defensive back in the history of the NFL that made a business decision.
Yep.
Yeah, that happens all the time, let's
yes.
be clear. You can go back and look at tape of really great corners that like to intercept and break up passes. A lot of them really aren't interested in tackling. Okay, that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that happens all the time. But when Jerry's lashing out at people for questions, that means he doesn't want to be questioned. And that means he knows that this team stinks right now, okay? They're no good. And he don't want to hear about that. All he wants to hear about is all the wonderful things he's done for the Cowboys over the years and all this kind of stuff. When they lash out like that, they really are upset with themselves because they have put themselves in this predicament. And when you brought back Mike McCarthy after that disastrous showing against the Packers, where so many people watching are like, I'd really like to just take myself out right now after watching that as a Cowboy fan. That's a problem. That's the problem right there.
I've been struggling with this, trying to figure this one out. If you had a way to compare the Lions to a team of the past, do you have a comp for what they are? Because they have so many, they have a unique group of skills that they can do with so many different players.
Well, they are fascinating because they can, like Bill Belichick used to say, when the Patriots were the Patriots, guys, we can win a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And the Lions can beat you a lot of different ways. They have a good defense despite losing Aiden Hutchinson. You know, they have a great running game. They have a quarterback in Jared Goff who's been on fire. It's like, you know, when you're playing golf, you want to make a birdie because birdie is great. You want to make a birdie on every hole. They feel like they can make a birdie on every hole.
Yep.
Okay? That's sort of the way they're running. And I'm trying to think of a team. I mean, like, just so people understand historically what we're seeing from the Lions. Over the last five games, they have more touchdowns than incompletions.
Wow.
That's a ridiculous thing. They went into the game against the Titans, the first team since the 59-60 Browns to have more touchdowns than incompletions over a four-game stretch. And I have to look the research. I don't know if anybody's done it over a five-game stretch. I mean, on Sunday, they had five touchdowns and two incompletions. Ugh. Like, that's a ridiculous thing. And Jared Goff should be in the MVP consideration, but they won in a blowout when he was 6 of 8. Like, 6 of 8, guys.
Does that make you excited to see what fantastic new way the Lions will figure out to still not make it to the Super Bowl?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because I love Dan Campbell, and I want him to succeed because I love guys that are different and do it a different way. But I bet in quiet moments in the offseason, he's like, man, I should have kicked some of those field goals when we were up against the 49ers. The one thing I hope he learns, because a lot of teams do this, guys, and you know this, well, that's who we are. We're going to be who we are. No, what you want to be is whatever it takes to win, like to throw it back to the Cowboys. Jimmy Johnson, sidelines, NFC Championship game, 1992. They were in Candlestick Park. The 49ers had just scored to cut it to a four-point lead, 24-20. Jimmy goes to Norv Turner. They start deciding what call they want to play. Jimmy's response to Norv was, do whatever necessary to win the game. A lot of people would have run the clock in that situation, right? They would have tried to take some time off the clock and milk it and just hang on. Jimmy and Norv said, F it. Let's throw it to Alvin deep, and he ran for 60-plus yards, setting up the go-ahead touchdown by Kelvin Martin to seal the Cowboys back in Super Bowl 27. So,
hey, are you running for 60-plus yards right now?
On the golf course, baby, pushing a cart up.
Okay.
Birdie's the best. I told you, Birdie's the best. I'm trying to make Birdie.
That's why Birdies were on his mind.
All right.
Hey, Trey, this morning I was at the gym and I'm watching The Comeback, the documentary on Boston and New York and everything. And there you are talking about the A-Rod trade. And I was like, holy crap, we're going to talk to him here in just a little bit. When stuff like that happens, is there a different buzz, like a different energy, like those kind of moments whenever you get to break that kind of news?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, like, yeah, that is – first of all, there's nothing better, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way as long as you guys have been in it. When you're talking about something that's happening in real time, whether it's news like that or you're covering a live game, that's always way more fun than, okay, this happened. How are we going to talk about it and formulate it and package it? No, when it's happening in the moment, like that's what made the draft so much fun.
Yeah.
Like I always say, the draft is the ultimate reality television show because all reality TV is crap. The cameras are everywhere. It's staged and all that kind of stuff. We go into the draft, we don't have a clue what's going to happen. Like, you know how much money I could have made before the 2016 draft if I could have said, hey, there's this guy from Mississippi. He's top offensive lineman in the draft. I bet you $1,000 right before he's drafted, there's going to be video of him smoking weed out of a gas mask bong from his days in college. Like, well, that'll never happen. And that's exactly what happened. That's what makes the draft great.
I do remember that. I probably would have thought that's what you did to come up with that betting idea. But that is a great point. Now, we've talked about this, and I know Dak usually says the right things. He's not going to come out and be like, oh, yeah, we're screwed. What are we supposed to do? He says the season is still in front of them. Everything is still in their control. How much longer does that last? Because I see his point, but they feel dangerously close to it's over.
Well, the good news from Dak's perspective is we're only 7 games on it, 10 games left to play, right? That's the long game. But the reality is, until they can win a home game and stop giving up 4,000 points in a home game, no one's going to believe them. Like, the good news is for this week they're playing the Falcons on the road. Bad news is that guy Kirk Cousins can shred a lot of secondaries, and the Cowboys secondary looks like it's ready to be shred yet again.
Yeah. Well, outstanding stuff. We hope the round pays off for you, and we will talk with you again soon, good sir.
You've got to keep the clavicles connected to try and make birdie.
There you go.
All right, good luck. Good luck, ladies and gentlemen. There's Trey Wingo right here on 105.3 The Fan. I mean, it sounds like he's amped up for his golf game, right?
I will say this. I don't think I've ever had an interview from the golf course that has gone as well as that one did. Every time we've ever interviewed anybody that's been on the golf course, they're so distracted by their shot.
Was now, it Kavanaugh that we talked to on the golf course once?
I was there. It was so awesome.
I think you called in afterwards and you're like, this was so great. He's in the
bunker, puts his phone down in the bunker, and I think on his third swing he finally gets the ball out. So he's just, nope, that one didn't get out, you know, and then he did it again, and then finally on the third one he gets out of the bunker and just killing his score. Well, I think sand is going on his phone.
Oh, like, my,
you know, when
God.
You hit, you, yeah, don't, that's, play probably golf,
it goes everywhere.
A lot of sand. You have to smoke the sand to get the ball. You're not hitting the ball. You're hitting the sand behind the ball.
Okay.
And I know that's, there's more to it. But
well, the first time I was ever in a sand trap, my buddy just said, hit the sand as hard as you can.
And follow through. Yeah. Do not stop once you hit the sand, and it will get out. But it was just one of the best moments ever as he is playing golf. And we had a random dude playing with us. It was Gavin, Jeff, and I, and a random dude. Because to keep public courses going, they need pretty much 3 to 4 people playing. And they added, this guy was an extra, so they added him to us three. We had a spot open. And, I mean, that guy was probably like, who the crap am I playing with?